Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What is 2020 going to be like? And of course, we used to say that and it seemed like pretty far up. That's 4 years away.
Yeah, not that far.
4 years away. It's a book you're seeing right now, I guess back over here. Ray Kurzweil wrote a book. What's the name of his book?
How to Create a Mind.
How to Create a Mind. This man was hired, is hired by Google to be able to just understand us by our searches and by our, the predictability is something. But let's just go right to this. Because he's interviewing him. He's saying, listen, I am buying this product. Tell me what it's going to be like in 2020. And this man has his predictions. And we have
he's
this
been
for
very
you.
Accurate in past
he's been, I mean, very accurate. Almost like maybe
eerily
80, 90% accurate in his predictions. Let's go. It's Ray Kurzweil talking about a prediction, what 2020 is going to be like.
First of all, I bought this yesterday.
Okay.
With
thanks.
My debit card.
Thank you very much.
A present. In the year 2099, December 31st, how, when I walk into a store, hopefully, how will I pay for that?
Well, I think you'll be walking into a virtual store, and most products will be virtual, even food and clothing and everything we need will be virtual. The era of three-dimensional printing is already coming, and we'll be able to download a design for clothing and then print it out, and there'll be open source forms of information, so open source clothing that you can download and then print out with three-dimensional printers at a few pennies per pound. So well before 2099, just about all the physical things we need will be information files. So already I can email you a book or a movie or a sound recording, and I can actually email you today a violin or a guitar, and you can print it out in your three-dimensional printer. There's a band that has all three-dimensional, 3D printed instruments.
Yep.
Pretty soon, all the physical things we need, certainly by the 2020s, will be information files. And you'll pay for these with online forms of purchasing, and you'll be able to buy them on online stores. I mean, already online shopping, even for things that we don't print out, is ubiquitous, and that's growing very rapidly, and physical retail is coming down.
Yep.
And people still like to go in to feel the clothing and try it on themselves, but we'll be able to take a three-dimensional scan of our bodies and actually see in 3D an avatar of ourselves and see how the clothes looks. And we won't be limited to just the things on the rack and, oh, I love this shirt. Oh, it's not available in my size. You'll be able to design, see the clothing on your avatar, then actually have it printed out in not only the right size, but in the exact shape for your body.
So what about the very real pleasure that I personally get from champagne? Will that be gone?
Well, virtual reality is another emerging technology. So already we can do what we're doing now in terms of being together. And there's technologies, rather than just sort of, you know, having images on a screen, like with Google Hangout, I can actually sit and look around you and feel like I'm together. There are primitive forms where we can touch each other. Once virtual reality goes inside our brains, and that'll be here by the late 2020s, and basically, I mean, my brain doesn't directly feel things, there's signals going into my brain. We can actually trap those signals and actually send into the brain signals representing a virtual environment. And so the computer will actually create the environment. And then we can be virtual actors in a virtual environment and do any of the things we do in real reality, like be together, hug each other, whatever, in a virtual environment. We can eat in a virtual environment and have that sensual experience because our brain is receiving these signals as if they were coming from the real world, but it's actually the virtual world. You'll have a body in the virtual world, but it doesn't have to be the same as your physical body. So if you go into something like Second Life today, already people have avatars representing them, and they can look different. Now, the avatars over here, although psychological experiments show that people actually identify with that avatar, but in the future, it'll actually be like this is my body and like I'm looking, but I'll actually have a different body. A couple could become each other, for example, and experience the relationship from the other's perspective. But you'll be able to do the things like eating that you mm-hmm. do in real reality and have that sensual experience in a virtual environment.
If we move a bit closer to the present time, you've said that when the timing is right, timing is vital for technology. Mm-hmm. And in that light, I would like to hear your viewpoint on emerging payment systems such as Bitcoin that changes the paradigm of who's controlling what.
Well, Bitcoin is interesting because it's not just a payment system, it's a whole currency. But I mean, everything is going virtual, and already we pay for most things, even just using credit cards, or PayPal and so on, we pay for things online. That's going to increase over time. Our cell phones will be able to pay for things. So we won't need to handle currency or even carry physical devices around. We'll be able to pay for things virtually. The nature of currency is interesting. I mean, what is currency? It's an agreement of, it's basically a big agreement system among people that everybody respects. You know, even, say, terrorists who have very different views of society than the mainstream society, everybody respects money. It's this big system of agreements that we have. And that will, and it's already been broken away from some kind of physical entity like gold. Mm-hmm. It's already a very kind of theoretical concept. But certainly payment is already going online.
We'll be right back.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
We had a chance to be in Alabama at Church of His Presence with Pastor John Kilpatrick recently, and Rose came up, and shout out to Rose in Alabama. And she was talking about how she's already began to abide with the Lord. We have a short period of time. If you don't know his voice right now, you need to learn his voice, because there's so many people going to jump up now. They're going to jump up and say they heard from God. And this is some of the words you're going to hear. You're going to hear the whole prophetic word coming on VFN TV soon that was given by John Kilpatrick. John Kilpatrick just recently. Mm-hmm. And that God spoke to him specifically in his dream. And we have 4 months, and then we're going to harvest whatever we choose to do. And it's not going to be good if we don't repent. But if we repent, which means abide with the Lord, begin to live a life, a righteous life, righteous in Christ through his mercy and grace. But hey, if we never pick the Bible up at all, how if the Bible is full of truth, I mean, think about this. If the Bible is full of truth and the enemy is a liar and the father of lies, how are we going to identify that he's lying to us if we don't know the truth?
Right. Got to know which is which.
It's like Josiah. He didn't know what a lie was until he found the word of God hidden in the temple. He said, go clean that church building out.
Right.
Look what we found. Yeah. And all of a sudden the priest runs out and goes, hey, I just happened to find the scriptures here.
Right.
And when he read them, you know what he found out? I know we got to go to break. But listen, you know what he found out?
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Is it good?
God is mad at us.
God's angry with us.
Yeah.
He said, God's angry with us. And it wasn't God got angry because he read the word. He just found out God's emotions that were already going along. He was angry. He was about to destroy a nation. But he stopped it because he understood and got in the word. You've got to go to iabide.org to get your abiding plan. Get on Emmaus Road and become a disciple. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Look at the menu for Hello Church. It drops down. You have Emmaus Road. And you choose your path.
Hi, welcome to Chick-fil-A. How may I serve you?
After church, how about a Chick-fil-A grilled sandwich and an order of fries?
If it's Sunday, it's not happening. The closed on Sunday sign follows the policy of Chick-fil-A's founder, Truett Cathy, to give employees more time with their family.
A day most food business experts agree is one of the best for business.
And for the same reason, closed on Sunday is on all 700 Hobby Lobby stores. David Green, founder of Hobby Lobby, in his new book, Giving It All Away and Getting It Back Again, referring to Genesis 2:2, writes, "The idea of a day of rest is centuries old. There's a rhythm built into the created order. Work no more than 6 days, then take one off. This rhythm should not be ignored."
The Bible, its influence in every aspect of life and work.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But what we're seeing is something being decentralized, as opposed to you have a like the Federal Reserve or our national bank that sort of runs the show and guarantees the value of this currency.
Well, you brought up a good term, decentralization. That's the nature of the future. The 21st century technologies are decentralized rather than centralized. So the internet is decentralized. Some piece of it goes down, the information just goes around it. There's an inherent stability to decentralized technology. There's new water technologies where right locally you can create very clean water at very low cost. Dean Kamen's slingshot machine costs $2,000, can meet the water needs of 100 people. They're already putting it in third world countries. Coca-Cola's gotten behind that. Can take any kind of water, swamp water or salt water, and create drinkable water at very low cost. Decentralized energy is coming. Solar power is doubling every 2 years. It's already over 1% of our energy. People say, 1% is kind of a fringe player. They're ignoring the exponential growth. 1% is only 7 doublings from 100%. It's doubling every 2 years. And then, so I presented this to the Prime Minister of Israel recently. He was actually in my class in the 1970s at the MIT Sloan School. And he said, "Ray, do we have enough sunlight to do this with?" And I said, "Yes, we have 10,000 times more than we need." So we're actually awash in energy, we're awash in water. They're just not in usable form, but the technologies to make them usable are growing exponentially. 20 years from now, we'll get all of our energy from very low-cost renewable sources, and they'll be decentralized. Water will be decentralized. Food will be created in decentralized vertical agriculture, automated facilities.
So all these really big global politics on energy and fossil fuels and how we will drive our cars, is everybody running in the wrong direction? Will technology solve these problems?
I don't think they're running in the wrong direction, but I think a lot of the concerns that, we're running out of energy and so on are wrong, because they're ignoring the emerging decentralized solutions that ultimately be very low cost, and they're based on information technologies. Solar power is being promoted by nanotechnology, which is a form of information technology, and the costs are coming down dramatically, and the amount is going up exponentially. It's really these exponentially growing decentralized technologies that will solve the major challenges of humanity.
So with regards to your job at Google, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So what is it like? What do you do there?
Well, I was actually presented my latest book to Larry Page, How to Create a Mind. Mm-hmm. We met in July. He had read an early version, a pre-publication version. He really liked it. And he invited me to join Google to basically apply those ideas to creating, artificial intelligence to really guide the future of Google. The goal is to increasingly base search and question answering on the actual meaning of documents and not just finding keywords. Mm-hmm. If you write a blog post, you've got some content to share. You're not just creating an interesting bag of words. We would like to actually understand and model the semantic meaning of your blog post and all the other billions of pages on the web and all the billions of book pages, and so that you can actually talk things over with your search engine and will really understand at a deep level what you're looking for, and will understand all the information that's out there and find information not just based on keywords.
A lot of people at the moment seem concerned about privacy, and you have this, people I think see them as the sort of evil machines that knows everything about me, and especially the company that you work for knows tons about me and privacy. How will that develop? Will I just have to say, okay, when I'm not in a Swedish forest, and totally not connected. Mm-hmm. It's goodbye privacy or?
Well, not at all. I mean, there's tremendous effort at Google to maintaining privacy. There's literally thousands of engineers to keep information private. And it's not just to keep it private within Google, but to prevent outside forces coming in and accessing that information. And that's a complicated technical problem, but information at Google is actually very secure. And the goal is to bring each person's valuable services so that you can find the information that you need. You can find the pizza place. You can get help with your reservations. And your car can drive itself. And we want to deliver real services. It's not the intention to invade privacy. It's actually a very great trust. 500 million people use Gmail. And so Google takes that very seriously and wants to provide services that you want without using the information for anything else. And, so I'm not the expert on explaining the privacy policies, but that is the goal, is to provide valuable services and to maintain the security of this information.
Going back to the champagne, could you try and be very specific and how will I pay for it? What will be the currency? What's the method?
I think currencies are evolving. I mean, there's a particular algorithm behind Bitcoin, and you know whether that really holds up or not is unclear, but I think we will have decentralized forms of currency. That's Bitcoin is an attempt to create a decentralized currency that's not controlled by countries. I think we'll have emerging currencies like that. We already have, you know, there's thousands of different stocks you can buy. That's a form of currency, and those are decentralized. And so it's hard to predict what will catch on, but I think it will be decentralized. And artificial intelligence will note that you bought a product and will adjust accounts accordingly. You know, there's going to be a lot of open source information. Three-dimensional printing will print out the things we need. And so take clothing. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of really cool designs you can download for free, print out for pennies per pound on your three-dimensional printer. I can email you, oh, here's this great new shirt, and I can email it to you, and you can print it out. People will still spend money for proprietary forms. We see that already in music and movies and books. There's millions of those free products that you can have a very good time with, but people still spend money for the latest blockbuster or for Harry Potter or for music from their favorite artist. You have a coexistence of open source and proprietary forms of information. And that will be true in every industry.
So what in this virtual world, what will value be? Like, because you're talking about that the price of everything drops and you can sort of, whenever the whole world is digitized, you could just...
Well, it's for proprietary forms of information. I mean, look at music, movies, and books as a forerunner of that. That's pure information, and you spend money for a book, and you get it as an e-book, and it's just information. Now, there's also free books, and there's millions of free books. You could never finish reading all the free books. You still spend money for proprietary books because you want to read that book. And you're going to spend money for a hot design from the latest hot designer for clothing, even though you can get very good free designs. And you're going to have this coexistence of open source and proprietary forms of information. And that's the nature of value, information that people want to acquire and are willing to pay for.
All right. Great. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a daughter who is currently on active duty in the military. She has been put in charge of founding a youth group within the chapel setting, and the people there have been real resistive as far as fundraising events or some of the other ideas that she would like to implement. She was wondering where she would go to find the information that would make her superiors more comfortable in knowing what the parameters are.
First, of course, our website has a tremendous amount of information on this issue, but we also have a couple of lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice that deal with issues of religious liberty and the military. And you're correct. These youth groups can meet. They can have the same rights as they would in private life. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers. Also encourage you to get your daughter to go to our website at aclj.org.
Visit us at aclj.org.
That's ACLJ.org.
I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also, our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program, or you're saying, I wish I would have got that or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there. Mm-hmm. And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for the Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so interesting because he's talking 2099, but he also is talking 2020. Virtual reality
in your brain.
In your brain. In other words, right now, you know, the Lord says, take every thought captive. The Word of God says, take every thought captive and force it to be in compliance with the will of God. Mm. This is our battle plan. It's spiritual battle plan to win.
Yeah.
And they're saying, we're going to put stuff in your brain that we're going to control your thoughts.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, it takes, you know, fantasy to some sort of even more experiential thing that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And Dagon was a god, Baal, Dagon, Asherah. But Dagon was a god that they worship when you had Jezebel and Ahab, and she brought all these gods in, and he had the Baal worship going on. But Dagon was one of those gods. Mm-hmm. And they said that Dagon is a god, which is no god at all, but it would travel. A demon actually would travel through fantasy. And so it actually went somewhere through fantasy and it would impact a person demonically. Mm-hmm. And they called it a god. Well, look at this is like to the heights of fantasy now. And it's like, well, you know, these bills are real, son. You're going to have to get a job. Daughter, you got to get a job, you know? And people were just getting more and more caught up. And you're thinking by 2020 that something's going to be in your brain. Now, how many people go, I mean, you're going to have to say things like this. Well, I'm just going to remain this stupid. I'm not going to put that stuff in my
head.
I know you can quote off more data, and more people just say stuff. They say stuff, and they're just cranking off data, but they don't have any wisdom. They don't really have any knowledge. They just have a whole bunch of information. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ is wisdom itself, and having a relationship, an abiding relationship with him. And you got, in this day, you've got to have an abiding relationship with him. And he wants that. That's what he always wanted. You know, John 15:5, he says, apart from having an abiding relationship with him, you can do nothing. And a lot of people really want to hang out with the Lord and they want to abide with him, but they don't know what to do. A lot of theories out there, but really it's not that complicated. They just need a plan. Mm-hmm. And we have a plan for you. It's free. You know, all ages are doing. I just had a family just contacted me yesterday, and the whole family is going to begin to abide using this simple plan. And you can request this plan now. Request it. Go to www.iabide.org. You fill out a little bit of information right there, and it comes right to you in your email. And immediately, I mean, it shows you how to begin right away. And you got to begin
right through it.
You got to begin to hear the voice of God. You got to learn. He says, "My sheep know my voice and follow none other." I mean, you got to know what's real and what's not real. You got to know this stuff talking about, we don't know if this is reality or not reality. I had a dream, and this particular night vision the Lord gave me, I was like in these, I don't know if it was pods or office
cubicles.
Pods, cubicles, but there's like tons of them, and everybody was just entering in all this data, social security numbers, date of birth, all this data on all people. And nobody, they wouldn't let anybody communicate or talk. And all of a sudden, it's like the Lord showed me, they're gathering this data on people to be able to control folks.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't tell, but everybody had like this white or this bulletin board that was, you know, in your cubicle. And I knew I could write on this bulletin board. And so I got up and I wrote just what you're seeing right here. And this is what I wrote in this prophetic dream. And the number of his name is 666. Now, Elon Musk, the one that you saw earlier on, is the one that invented PayPal, exchanging money back and forth.
Hmm.
But listen to what the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says specific. It's all about business. It's all about economy. Steve, talk to us. What does he talk about the economy as a sign?
Yeah.
What does he say?
Revelation 13, verse 16, it says, it also forced all people, great and small.
So we're talking about this beast economy.
Beast economy.
A beast economy.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. The number is 666.
This is exactly what... So all this data is being gathered. The enemy doesn't... Mm-hmm. They don't know anything until you tell them everything. Yeah. I mean, if you're telling everybody your business, you don't have no business, right?
Yeah.
And so... So in that this whole thing is coming to pass. That requires wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is abiding with Jesus Christ. You know, God, Jesus is alive and well, and he has all the answers that you'll need, but you got to hang out with him. It's so important. I encourage you. I'm telling you that you need to learn how to abide mm-hmm. with him. And abiding with him is spending time with him, reading scripture, hiding his word in your heart. You know, he says, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I wouldn't go off the path, you know, sin against you. You got to be able to just, as you're reading the word, let him talk to you, because the word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates between the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts and opinion. It just lets you know what's going on. It's like living. And then do what he tells you to do. Look, we have a plan. It's just available for you right now. Just like this family that made a commitment. They said, we're going to abide as a family. And you're going to see things shift in that family because God loves you. He's got a plan for you. We have an abiding plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You got to get it today. I want to be able to pray for you. With all these things going on, we got to get wisdom of all the things. That's what he said. In Revelation, he said, get wisdom. Father God, we just ask you right now for everyone that's watching and those that are listening, Lord, that you would give us all wisdom for this day. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and grace to obey. Lord, I just pray right now for an abiding lifestyle to come upon all those that are listening right now. Lord, that you would just stir their hearts and all this busyness and hecticness and all this fantasy and all this computerized media and digital movies and everything that's distracting them from the awesomeness of your reality would be broken, and they would go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with you, and that you would show yourself mighty to them in dreams and visions and the time with you and your word, God. We just pray for that. And we ask you, Lord, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.